Danny Younger.
Joined.
This is Danny. Have we got anybody here yet? Thank you.
Cadigo operator.
Joined.
Hello, operator.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I guess we're the only ones on the call so far.
Okay, who is this?
This is Danny Younger.
Hi, Danny. This is Tanya.
Hello there, Tanya.
Well, we're a little early, so.
It's okay.
They'll start pouring in shortly.
What part of the world do we find you in, Tanya?
I'm in Northern California.
Oh, where they have nice weather.
Except for today.
Okay.
But considering what's going on with the different extremities, I guess I can't complain. Either they're snowed in or, like Cheryl was telling me earlier, they're having a heat wave. So
that's
60
that's
degrees
true.
And some rain, I think I'll live.
It's not so bad here. We're at about 20 degrees.
And where are you?
I'm in the mountains of Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to mute the phone. You just holler if you need anything.
Okay, good.
Cheryl.
Joined.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
I'm well.
Is it cool in your part of the world? If it is, I'm jealous.
Yes, it's indeed cold here. We're at 23 degrees.
David
currently.
Scott.
Joined.
Welcome, David.
Hello.
Welcome. This is Danny. We've got Cheryl online.
Heidi.
Heidi.
Joined.
Rob Hogarth.
Welcome, Rob.
Joined.
Good evening. Hello, everybody.
How was Washington today?
Bright, crystal clear blue skies and freezing cold.
Stop, Bob. You're making me jealous.
Joe Baptista.
Hello, Joe.
Joined.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Your weather must be even colder than ours.
Well, it's horrendous. So, what's happening?
Yeah, we're waiting for everybody to pop in on this call. We'll start roll call in probably another 3-4 minutes.
Fantastic. Then I'll wait around.
Cheryl, I'm told that we'll be joined on the call today by Milton Muller, who will be taking the place of William Drake from the NCUC side.
Hi. Robin or Mary joining?
Robin's the one that sent me the note, and she didn't say whether she would be on the call, but Mary indicated she would be joining.
Right. It's just Robin had said Mary will be repping for NCUC on the joint working group. That's why I hope she was going to be here as well. Of course.
Milton Muller.
Hey, welcome aboard.
Joined.
Milton.
Hello.
Andrew McMeekin.
Joined.
Hello there, Andrew.
Hi.
Hi, Andrew. Cheryl Langdonor here.
Hi, everyone. Yes, I had my times a bit mixed up. I'm not used to daylight saving over here.
I think it...
Andrew, that was probably my mistake, because I wasn't used to the fact that you had daylight savings time over there.
And that was
my
fault.
That means we have 4 time zones in Australia instead of 3 when we're in daylight saving between October and the end of March.
I will vote it out soon enough over here, I think.
Oh, stop it, you bad man. And why didn't you pick weather?
No,
sent up to me.
So you're in Queensland, are you?
No, I'm Sydney. Well, I'm not. I'm mid New South Wales.
Oh, okay. We're not.
Alan.
Oh, funny.
Joined.
Welcome, Alan.
Thank you. You're a cruel taskmaster. This is the first time I've called in exactly on time. There's 10 people there already.
Some of us don't have a light.
Well,
joined.
Or maybe it's
Sherman.
Joined.
Or maybe it's he's at the time where it's actually a rational time for you, Cheryl.
Yeah, we try to be nice once in a while, right?
Yeah, what
Actually,
time is that
I
there?
I find the middle of my Saturday horrendously inconvenient.
Well, I would have thought I would have thought better than 1 a.m. or 4 a.m.
Well,
maybe
no
not.
There's no other competition. I prefer 1 or 4 a.m.
Yeah, really. That's my.
Actually, I appreciate Saturday afternoon. Thanks.
Yeah, well, there you go, Holly.
Sorry, mate.
I don't try and do your job, and you don't try and do all of mine.
No, I know. Well, it's too hot outside to do too much.
I just say.
All right, why don't we give it another minute or two, and then we'll take a roll call, get a general sense of who's here. In the meantime, Milton, I noticed your recent blog post on the... IGP site.
Oh, yeah.
Good. It went up about 2 hours ago. It's well worth reading. Recommend it to everyone.
Well, we wonder whether people will follow a series or not, but it's too complicated to do in one blog post. I'm sure you can grant me that.
Absolutely.
Carlos Aguirre.
Joined.
Who was that?
Carlos.
Carlos.
Carlos Aguirre is here.
Hello, Carlos.
Hello.
Joined.
Who was that?
I didn't catch who that was.
Who are we still missing on the ALAC side?
Is Sebastian here?
Not that I've heard. Who was the last caller?
It sounded like Lynn, but I have no idea.
All right, you know what? Why don't we get started with a general roll call and get people to identify themselves so we all know who's here, at least at this point. Who would like to begin?
Lynn.
Left.
I guess whoever it is doesn't like us.
That's a good start.
Alan Greenberg is here.
Okay, Alan.
Joe Baptista.
Joe.
Cheryl Langdonall.
Okay, Cheryl.
David Scott.
Andrew McLeacon.
David and Andrew.
Gareth Sherman.
Gareth.
Holly Reich.
Hello, Holly.
Hi.
We're just calling roll.
Ken Bauer.
Joined.
Okay, so I heard Milton's voice. I'm sorry, who was the other one?
Ken Bauer.
Ken Bauer, okay.
Good evening. Ken Bauer speaking.
Good evening, Ken.
Rob Hogarth's here.
Okay.
And Heidi Ulrich.
And Heidi.
I didn't get the person before Heidi.
Before Heidi was Rob Hogarth.
Thanks.
And Milton, I take it we're still waiting for Mary. Would you know if Robin will be on the call today?
I think so. Definitely Mary is supposed to be.
Wasn't there an email earlier about who would attend in somebody's place?
Yeah, it was about me replacing Bill Drake.
Milton and Bill Drake, right.
Right.
Okay, well, why don't we...
Mary
here's Mary.
Joined.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, I think we've got enough online to get started now. In the first instance, I think since the staff has not yet posted the minutes of the February 3rd board meeting, it would probably be helpful to all of us if a member of staff, perhaps Robert, could give us a sense of what transpired at that meeting with respect to the prior board resolution and or any board comments on the role of individual users.
Thanks. I believe that Denise Michelle circulated an email to the council list and to the, I think you got it too, Danny. Just generally reporting that at the meeting earlier this week, the board, and let me just read the email. It might be easier for me to do that.
Okay.
The ICANN board recognized ongoing efforts in the community to develop a recommendation for the board on how to incorporate the legitimate interests of individual Internet users in the GNSO in constructive yet non-duplicative ways. The board also acknowledged the requests from the GNSO and ALAC chairs and from the Norelo New Constituencies Working Group to extend the deadline for recommendations previously set by the board. The board subsequently passed a resolution asking that a consensus recommendation or recommendations, if no consensus is reached, be submitted to the board by 20 February 2009. The resolution is expected to be posted shortly. And that's, you know, for better or for worse, under the control of the board secretary. So I'm not quite sure what that timing will be.
Okay, thank you for that, Robert.
Rob. Yes.
Robert, we've got an obvious question here. The original board resolution was really looking for a recommendation on the composition and organizational structure of the NCSG. I mean, that's the primary thing that they were looking for. But the language that Denise has put forward seems to be calling for a different type of recommendation, one that deals with incorporating legitimate interests of individual users into the GNSO, which is, you know, a totally different subject matter. How do we reconcile the two?
Denise produced, and I will, you know, as you guys go on with further discussions, I'll go back into my archives here. She provided a clarification earlier in the month, particularly at the behest of the GNSO Council, clarifying that while the board resolution did mention the NCSG and its structure, that the resolution was not that narrowly drawn, and that was not the narrow construction expected by the board in its discussions. I think Alan, on a previous call, did a very good job of sort of talking about that, noting that there was a decided interest, and the context of this issue was much broader than the NCSG specifically, and really focused on the role of individual internet user representation in the GNSO. Certainly that's an issue with respect to the NCSG and how that group will be structured, but I think, and I'll find it here, Denise's clarification tried to dispel that interpretation, I think, that many had, that it was a much more narrow focus.
As long as we've got Alan on the call, Alan, perhaps you could address this briefly?
Well, I've read that, the board resolution, many times, and it leads off with the issue of we've resolved pretty much everything about GNSO structure except the role of users as recommended by the original working group, and went on to say, how do we do, you know, we were looking for recommendations how we do this in a way that complements and does not
duplicate or
conflict with the role of at-large and ALAC, and then goes on to mention NCSG or you know, something to that effect. But the start of it and from my perspective, the intent of it was saying, give us some guidance regarding users.
Okay.
And I think that's what ALAC intends to try to respond to, not a narrow, what is the, you know, the form of the NCSG that we'd like to see.
All right, good. I guess we'll all just wait for the actual minutes of the meeting to be posted so we can read the resolution, and we'll all act accordingly once that's up.
Yeah, as far as I can tell from Denise's note last night, all that they said is basically several groups asked us to defer. At least one of us mentioned the 20th of February. I don't know if the GNSO did, and we're granting you that time.
Okay.
Is it the February 20th deadline or the original January 20th?
February 20th.
We're extended to February.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Which is basically a week before we leave for Mexico.
Okay,
yeah.
And it's basically only 2 weeks away.
That's correct.
So
yep.
With that in mind, we'll probably now move on to the next point, the big one here, which is a general overview of all the proposed charters that have been fielded thus far. And fortunately, we have Milton on the call who... I take it took a lead role in authoring the NCUC's proposal for an NCSG charter. So, Milton, why don't you have a go at it and just give us a general sense of what the charter proposal lays out.
Okay. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. So, yes, we have a draft. It's been through actually three iterations now. We just got some very helpful comments back from the staff. And essentially, we believe that the stakeholder group should be the basis of organization in terms of voting and joining and administration so that you have an integrated structure so that everybody's talking to each other all the time, and that when elections are held for council seats, that everybody has equal representation. And that constituencies are secondary groupings that are flexible and not a big deal in terms of how they are worked into the voting structure. And we came up with this idea after thinking long and hard about actually how to implement the original constituency structure that was proposed by the Board Governance Committee. Although, if you look back over the record, from the moment of the very first Board Governance Committee report asking for comments, we warned them that it would be not a good thing to have two layers of organization in these new stakeholder groups. Anyway, there are basically, it's fairly simple, basically. The organizations, individuals, and large organizations join the stakeholder group directly. They have a membership eligibility, which is pretty straightforward. You have to be non-commercial in orientation. We adapt the same individual eligibility criteria that we're using now in our provisional individual membership. And I think the best thing would be for you to ask me about the structure, either what you don't understand about it or what you don't like about it, because we've been moving on this track since the summer, really, almost since August, or as soon as the new GNSO structure was defined, we started moving down this road, and we've been seeking comment from ALAC and from everybody else, and we've actually never gotten a single formal response, except, of course, from the staff. And so...
It's a written statement. I agree, Milton, that we had extensive discussions with the ALAC and the, your grouping on this during the CAIRO meeting, and I think face-to-face meetings and ICANN meetings are formal response opportunities.
Right. So we hear sort of rumors in the background and rumblings and so on that people don't like what we're proposing, but we don't know why. So you know, the structure is pretty simple. You have a membership that joins a stakeholder group directly. You have a policy committee that sort of is composed of the constituencies and the GNSO council members that kind of supervises the administrative process. You have a chair, and you've got some rules about geographic representation in the election of council members. And then you have these constituency formation processes, which, since the constituencies are not hardwired to council seats, it can be pretty flexible and easy to form, but you can't join too many constituencies, and you have to have a certain number of people who maintain membership to have a constituency.
Okay, Milton, I think we should point out, at least for the broader group's benefit, that what has been missing in the process so far is a central repository of documents. Today, for example, was the first time that I saw your version 4 of the NC SG charter that you've proposed, because I happened to spot it on the NCUC list. And I'm given to understand that Heidi and staff have now created a commons where these documents will be posted. If we could have Heidi, if you're on the call now, if you could fill us in on that.
Yes, this has been started about 3 hours ago, and it is called the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group Commons, and it's a working wiki where everyone will be able to post their information, their documents, meetings of these calls, audios, et cetera.
Yep.
And we are just in the process of inviting people, and we will start posting all the documents, both from the at-large side and, I hope, Rob, also from the GNSO side.
Before we get to any questions on Milton's charter, which we can certainly take up under point 6 of the agenda a little bit later on, I'd like to just check to see if we might have Cheryl Preston on the call. All right, well.
I don't think she was in the list of invitees, was she?
No, she is on the call.
Cheryl's on the call?
Gerald Preston.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Well, in any event, Cheryl is a member of the Norello's Working Group on New Constituencies. And
also a member of NCUC.
Yes.
Has been for 2 years.
She at one point posted an alternative, what she deemed to be an alternative NCSG charter, and I'm given to understand that Cheryl is currently working on an update of that charter. Since I haven't seen any recent versions of that charter, I don't feel comfortable commenting upon it, but suffice it to say that there is another draft charter out there for people to be looking at, and I take it that in short order it'll be up on the Wiki Commons.
But Danny,
yeah.
I think it's worth pointing out that the salient part of Milton's proposal, that is a very thin constituency, and the stakeholder group is essentially the main body, is the same as in Cheryl's. I mean, she has a lot of different rules and details, but that part, at least in the version I saw, that part is the same. So it's not at odds with Milton's and with Milton's and the formal NCUC proposal at this point.
Right.
I
describe it as an alternative, not as All right, your point's well taken, though, Alan. Thank you. Which brings us now briefly to a charter that I put up strictly for discussion purposes within the Norello Working Group. The charter that I put out there was basically a discussion piece modeled on the notion of a confederacy. The charter was very short, concise, could literally be written on a napkin, and it essentially called for constituencies to be the predominant players, that the NCSG functions only as an entity in the event that all constituencies are in accord. Otherwise, all the constituencies are pretty much free agents.
Gene Marsh.
Joined.
In terms of voting formulation.
Hey, Danny, you were interrupted by somebody joining. Can you repeat your last couple of sentences?
Sure. And Gene, this was Gene Marsh joining. Welcome, Gene. What I was saying was that the charter that I threw out there simply as a discussion piece was modeled on the notion of a confederacy. What you have is constituencies taking the predominant role.
Preston.
Oh, Cheryl's online now. Good.
Yes, all right.
The short and sweet of it is that voting simply becomes a mathematical formula. It's 6 divided by the number of constituencies, gives you the total number of votes per constituency, and each constituency only sends one member to the GNSO Council. That's it, short and sweet. General discussion was that it was simple enough to be accepted by the folks that had read it. We didn't have an undue amount of discussion. Again, it was simply a discussion piece and not necessarily advocating a particular line on this. Now that we've got Cheryl on the call, Cheryl, could you give us a minute to go over in brief the charter that the Cyber Safety constituency is proposing?
Well, we proposed a charter based on NCUC's proposal, where we took the concept that the entire non-commercial group, stakeholders group, would be in the general construction of that charter, and then we put in some other balances and shifted some duties and so on. But since we can't seem to agree on that, we probably would support going back to the bare constituency model instead.
Okay. Since we now have Gene Marsh on the line, and I haven't heard Carl Peters pop in as yet, Gene, the TLDA, I'm assuming, may be going forward with a notice of intent to form a constituency. Has your group given any thought to charter considerations?
Actually, consideration has been given, and I'm not in a position to speak formally for the TLDA.
Okay.
I am no longer a board member of the TLDA. I'm still an interested party and advisor to their operations, and have regular communications with all of the folks involved. And, of course, I was involved in the initial creation of the TLDA before Marina Del Rey some years back. There has been a great deal of discussion about the creation of a charter as it would fit into an appropriate fit into the ICANN overall structure. However, again, I would defer to Carl Peters to deliver any specifics on where the organization is in that process and what the time frame might be for delivery of such a charter.
Okay, fair enough.
May I ask a question, Danny?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Milton. I'm assuming that a TLDA-based constituency, being on the supplier side of the spectrum, would not be in any way relevant to what we're discussing here in terms of the NCSG, right?
That might be true were it not for the fact that the TLDA is apparently set up as a nonprofit.
Danny, so is the Recording Industry Association of America and the AIM Trademark Association that Phil Shepard represents. We've known for years that nonprofit status is really not relevant to the question of whether you're a non-commercial user or not. All trade associations from the National Cable Television Association to the RIAA are organized as nonprofits. That does not make them... I think it's evident, non-commercial entities or non-commercial user supporters. It's simply that they're organized for that purpose because they are not profit-making.
Right, well,
if I could respond to that rather briefly, and that's an appropriate observation, and I also have been involved in those types of organizations and know from which you speak, and you are exactly right. Some of this depends on how the charter would be approached. The TLDA really consists of two sections, however. One is an industry consortium of TLD providers. The other is a technical overview organization, generally referred to as the Taproot organization, which is more of a technical advisement group and has no direct involvement with commercial operations. It performs more of an IETF-like function in proposing proper operating standards, technical review, et cetera.
Okay. Ultimately, I guess the question will be asked, where do the TLDA members feel most comfortable positioning their own organization, on the commercial or the non-commercial side of the fence?
And I would, again, defer to Carl Peters to directly address that as an official spokesman of the organization.
Okay.
Actually, I would say that that's not even the right question, Danny. It's whether they're on the contracting party side of the house or the non-contracting party. The strange thing, and it's been a flaw in the DNSO before and the GNSO now, is that if you want to be a registry, there's no place for you because you're not a contracting party yet, so you can't be in the registry constituency until you're in the root. But you're not a user constituency. You want to be a supplier. You want to be a contracting party. So this is why I'm making an issue. You really have to take into account the new structure of the GNSO, which is, you know, that's been decided. We have a bicameral GNSO. One side of the house are contracting parties. The other side of the house are user parties. And the TLD Association is in, you know, a very strange position, but I think it's pretty clear that they're not users. They want to be suppliers, or they are suppliers, and they would probably belong on the contracting party side.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and you're exactly right. And it's been an issue since the awarding of power to ICANN, and that is exactly an area that has never really been addressed. And
right.
In fact, even those who have gone through the various different iterations of the application process, have had essentially no voice nor any ear to concerns, legitimate or from a general standpoint or from a commercial standpoint, to be addressed.
That's right.
Okay, I think what we're going to do is move on briefly to comments from the folks that have just put together a new notice of intent, which is Bo Brendler's group dealing with a consumer advocates constituency. Unfortunately, Bo is not on the call, but I'm wondering whether Holly Raish and or Cheryl could perhaps discuss whether the Australian ACAN group might be part of this constituency that Bo is putting together.
Speaking as a board member of ACAN, absolutely. I'm actually more interested in, right now in resolving, though, this issue about contracting versus non-contracting parties. It looks like there ought to be at least three groups, and if we're going to have non-commercial, meaning the user, somewhere in the recommendations back on February 20, it's like, what do you do with parties who'd like to be at the table, but because of the way the table is structured, there's no place for them? Because I don't think they belong in the non-commercial space, but I think they belong at the table.
Well, and that's exactly right. Nor do they truly belong in the contract space because they hold no contract. So they're in limbo.
Yeah, and I think that in part of the response on February 20th has to be, if we're going to have a charter, the charter ought to very carefully delineate what we mean by the user, and I am assuming that the user will exclude the registrars, but I don't want them excluded from the table. My view is, if non-profit isn't enough.
The user house is in fact, because whilst Holly's the deputy chair, it's the executive director, Teresa Corbin, that has been involved in the discussions at greater depth with Bo. So I just want to hop in and tell Holly that I'll bring you up to speed that the bicameral system, within the user house, we have contracted and non-contracted parties. So it's at the table. But back to the original question, is it the sort of thing that ACAN would be interested in? It's why ACAN has been talking to Consumers Union in the first place.
Yep.
If I can butt in, that's Andrew McMeekin here.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I would really like to see a group that covers pretty much everything covered, not covered by other groups, just sort of as a catch-all where everyone's welcome, but we only would vote, put forward issues that aren't covered by any other constituency or representation.
Andrew, would you see this within the context of the non-commercial house? Or are you proposing something outside of both the commercial and non-commercial houses?
Yeah, inclusive of both. Because at the moment, if you've got, say, a website that's perhaps not truly non-commercial, you might just be small-scale selling, but you're not really fitting into, like, the business constituencies, because it's more of a personal thing, but it's still sort of commercial. It doesn't quite fit in either. And I'd like to sort of be able to have issues raised from anyone. And if that issue doesn't fit in any other group, to be able to say, well, okay, this still needs to be heard because it's still a valid issue.
I think that there's a danger in making that too open. However, there might be some simple, for lack of a better term, litmus test for whether a particular entity was appropriate for inclusion in that type of general group. And the two questions that come to mind are they affected by, or could their actions and policies, et cetera, affect the concerns of other sub-constituencies within this group? And if the answer is yes to either or both of those, then I would think that there would be a case for inclusion. Otherwise, you could get a little out on the lunatic fringe with who would be included in a in an open catch-all type of subgroup.
Danny, could I get
well,
in the queue with
Alan? Well, if you're including internet users, you're including that sort of lunatic fringe anyway. I mean,
I'm going to take Alan in the queue now.
That kind of includes all of us, I guess.
Yeah. I must apologize, though. I have some other commitments I have to attend to, so I'll have to leave at this point.
Thank you, Andrew. Alan, you're next.
I would like to see sort of a really inclusive user space that can also represent, you know, the small internet domain holders as well as some of the larger ones and stuff. But to bring together
Andrew,
issues...
Andrew, make sure you put that up on the Commons so everyone
it's there.
Can call it over.
After Alan, can I get in the queue?
Certainly. Alan, go ahead.
Okay. I mean, listening to what's been said recently, it's quite clear that the structure, the GNSS structure that we've come up, that was invented and that we're now living with, is not going to be the be-all and end-all and satisfy everyone's needs. But I don't think that means that we should take the one that we're talking about today, the non-commercial stakeholders group, and have it be the catch-all to fix the ills of the other ones. For instance, if I'm running a business as an unincorporated business selling things on eBay, I'm commercial. Now, if the current business constituency is not a good home for me, then maybe the commercial stakeholders group has to have a new constituency or a new structure or something, which is a home for the small businessman who lives off the internet. But I don't think that the non-commercial stakeholders group can be the group that fixes all the other ills that there may be in the original bicameral house structure or in the stakeholder group ones.
Agreed, but does that thereby mean that there should be no other inclusion of other groups within this structure? Obviously, there are multiple potential issues here. But is there, and I ask this rhetorically, is there a place for other groups that fit neither in the contract nor non-contract subgroups?
Well, in my opinion, you've got to look at the details of each one
left
and see if it fits somewhere. The answer may well be that, oh my God, you know, there was no one at the table who was talking about that when the new structure was invented, and there's a gap, just like there would have been a gap if the Board Governance Committee recommendation had been implemented day one without any discussion at all.
Yeah, I'm going to take Milton in the call next.
Yeah,
I think that there's a fundamental fallacy in a lot of the thinking about representation in the future GNSO. And that is this, you guys are all stuck on the idea of constituencies. You're assuming that if somebody doesn't have an organized constituency that speaks specifically for every facet of their particular interest, that they're unrepresented. And just let me remind you that the whole purpose, or one of the main purposes of this reform, was to break out of the rigid categories of constituencies that we had, and put most of the policymaking work into working groups, which are open to anybody. So this TLD association could join a working group, and it wouldn't matter what part of the GNSO house we assign them to or what they categorize themselves as or who they put in, they can participate in the working group. And that's where the policy comes from under the new model. It doesn't come from the council anymore. It doesn't come from task forces or working groups restricted to GNSO constituencies. The working groups will be open. And the more you get stuck on the idea that everybody has to have a little category that they fit into, the messier and more disorganized and difficult this whole process is going to become. That's why we tried to propose this integrated structure of the non-commercial stakeholders group. There's a very simple and basic distinction. Are you a commercial user or a non-commercial user? It doesn't matter whether you're big or small, whether you're a consumer advocate, a privacy advocate, a safety advocate, a conservative, a liberal, a Marxist, whatever. You're just a member of the constituency and you participate in it, and you vote in an integrated fashion.
Stakeholder group.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess, too.
Doesn't that mean if we're thinking about a charter that if we start in a way that's just been outlined, a charter then has to be a very, very broad document that allows that inclusiveness. I mean, maybe I just retract what I said earlier, which is if the structure is really focused around working groups, shouldn't the charters actually be there to facilitate an open set of working groups?
And perhaps the working groups ought to have the capacity to elect the voting members of the council. It's great to say that anyone can be in a working group without a representative spot or category, but then they are not represented on the council. So, why don't we put all interested parties into the same majority vote system if that's the only system that matters?
I'll point out that although Milton is correct in that the working groups will be open to all, it is the council that's going to decide what working groups to create and what policies to attack and which ones to ignore, and those will be decisions made by council.
All right, I'm going to postpone this portion of the discussion because I want to remind everyone that within 2 weeks we need to have a recommendation back to the board. And with that said, I'd like to have Cheryl Langdonor speak to us about the particular role of the ALAC-GNSO Joint Working Group on the NCSG Charter and give us a sense of exactly what this working group seeks to do. What role will it be playing in this process?
Well, the ALAC and GNSO were specifically named in the board resolution to work together in a working group, which the ALAC part of that working group opened to more people because that original structure was delayed to a point where it wasn't able to be functional before our original deadline of January 24th. Has been formed by the ALAC to ensure, as we always must, that we have broad regional, so we have regional representatives from all of our five regions represented. We have yourself there, and in some ways Beau is also fitting the bill of bringing in the broad consumer interest people who are involved in the development of constituencies and, of course, specifically in your case, this North American RALO new constituency working group itself, that we needed to have liaisons and input from whatever work is being done at the grassroots. Basically, we're doing what the ALAC is supposed to do on these things. The first meeting, which I know you attended, and I'll ensure when they finish putting up the commons, it will have the tapes, et cetera, the MP3s of that meeting back in January. At that stage, the GNSO had not made a decision but had put forward a motion that they were yet to consider about this matter. Alan, that was discussed earlier in this meeting. I'll let you talk to the specifics of that. But we opened that up to both GNSO staff, any GNSO member, and I certainly assumed NCUC would be involved via that route, and Avery certainly did attend along with Ken and with Rob. That role from an ALAC perspective, and I'm not going to speak on behalf of the joint working group because at the moment I haven't got a joint working group effectively operating with the GNSO, so I'm not going to speak on behalf of the GNSO side of things because it's improper that I do. What I can speak on behalf of is the ALAC working group on the NCSG charter as per the board resolution, and we've had that grown out of our original GNSO improvements working group, has created the commons. We've had a first meeting and responded to the board in a prompt manner, and Alan, when he copied our working list, the ALAC working list, has appended a copy of the letter to the board from us on that, as well as the GNSO resolution and some additional notes. We will, when we heard that this meeting was on, we felt it was inappropriate to have our next meeting until after we, many of us having attended, going to be attending this one anyway, until this meeting was run, so we can directly bring the outputs of this meeting into our next steps discussion. Our next steps discussion, as far as I know, Heidi, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a doodle going out for Monday or Tuesday early next week. So a second meeting will be held then, and like everyone else who's been mandated to look at this task, we're aiming to get some sort of output. First of all, we've got to decide what our output will be, and we're looking, as Alan said, at the broader individual internet user input into the GNSO before the 20th, because we asked for the extension to the 20th in our letter. Alan, anything to follow on with that?
Yeah, there's been a number of people. There was I've got an email on a number of people, including a few NCUC people who will be part of this group. I'm way behind on my email because of some other commitments I've had. But over the weekend, I'll be pulling it together, and I think we'll have, you know, we have what, 7 or 8 people on our side, and
well,
I think we'll have a not dissimilar number on the GNSO side.
And Adam, what about the? Go ahead.
Sorry, if I may just fill in to Adam. Robin has already, as chair of NCUC, approached me as chair of the ALAC to say, can they be involved in the working group? And Mary, her name's been put forward. She's included in the doodle. And I also, as I would offer any chair, offered them any ex officio role. And, of course, they can have as many alternates as they want. Go ahead.
How about the new constituency? Can we be represented on this working group?
Interestingly enough, Cheryl, your name got on the list. I sent to Gisela at about 5 this morning. So if you haven't got an invitation to a doodle, we'll send.
Excellent.
There's a danger here, if I could point this out. And I know that we were trying, in a number of the discussion pieces here, to get around it in some logical way. But the danger is that there is an attempt to have this be in as open and inclusive a process as can be done. But at the same time, there's a continuing effort to name specific constituencies. And only if you are one of those named constituencies are you are a participant in the process. And there's a balancing act here that is going to be tough to accomplish while including the appropriate
Commons
partners.
I can just respond to that. The reason the Commons was put up this morning on the specific request of the ALAC NCSG Working Group and GNSO Improvements Working Group was that the person down the road having a copy can be invited to join it, so that, to the best of our ability, is being redressed.
And I am down the road, and I was having a cup of coffee, so
well,
I guess that makes that appropriate.
That is why you're definitely more than anyone else, perhaps, welcome in the Commons, because that's acting as the catch-all, and that's
Cheryl,
where all the work needs to be done.
But that's a good example of the problem with dividing the world up into little constituencies that then become mutually exclusive categories that actually end up limiting representation rather than facilitating it.
Exactly.
That's what we want to try and avoid. But we also, from the ALAC perspective, and I see him, Alan, you're not going to be able to speak on behalf of the GNSO, but someone of the GNSO members may, I assume the GNSO needs to respond to board resolutions where they're named just the same as we do.
And I believe the intent is that if everyone comes to agreement, then the joint response, I think the GNSO will essentially take as their own. If we do not come to agreement, then the GNSO has a problem and a technical problem and a timing problem.
Right.
But I can't address that.
Alan, can you address what the council is working on currently? Which members have they started adding to this particular collection of users that they're assembling?
I'd prefer if you wait till tomorrow, and I'll send out an email. I know from the NCUC, we have Bill Drake, Mary Wong. Avery has said she's interested.
And there may be more.
There's someone from the business community, the business user side, if I remember correctly, although I can't find the email the second. And Cheryl said Robin is also going to be involved.
Alan, I'm late in this process for getting involved and want to make sure that the ball gets carried forward. Can I give you my email address to be included in the correspondence to the group in general?
Yes, and Heidi, make sure you capture this for an invitation to the Commons.
Sure, I can't name you to the GNSO side.
Understood.
But I have no problem adding people to a mailing list, assuming we end up having a mailing list.
Could I ask Milton? Milton still there?
Yep.
Are you going to send me the email, or are you going to tell us now?
I can give you that email right now. It's marshm@anycast.net, anycast.net. And may I ask, because I didn't catch everyone's names, which Milton is it we have online with us?
Milton Friedman.
That's too many of us know your voice.
I can't see him right now.
There's only one Milton, isn't there? Is there more than one?
There is only one. It's Milton Mueller.
Milton, I'm interested in your charter because your charter seems to be written from the perspective of having an all-inclusive group. If I'm just thinking with the February 20th date sort of looming very large, we're going to have to come up with something. And if you've been writing a charter that is based on this notion of inclusiveness, how does it deal with including constituencies while nevertheless recognizing that somewhere in there's a non-commercial, and how do we deal with that?
Yeah, that's precisely the strength of our proposal, I think, is that you have a gatekeeper valve, if you will, which says, are you non-commercial or not? If you're non-commercial, you can join. It doesn't matter whether you're an individual or an organization.
Yeah.
And once you join, you can form subgroupings called constituencies, and that gets you, it's very easy to do. You need I don't know, 8 or 10 people. There's a little more sophisticated rule than that, but basically you can form the privacy constituency, the one-eyed Onondaga Indian constituency, any constituency you want can be formed if you can get enough people, and then you get a seat on the policy council, and so you sit on this council with our GNSO representatives. But you don't get a guaranteed seat on the council. That's the thing. The council representatives have to be elected by the group as a whole, so that everybody has an equal voting right, and no groups are privileged. We don't try to slice up the world according to these artificial constituency boundaries.
How do you deal with the fact that non-commercial, to several minds on this call, probably including mine, is perhaps a narrow definition? And do we worry about the fact that there's this group that really should be at the table, and potentially through the definition of non-commercial won't be? Is there a way through that? Do we have to think about that? Because we have to come up with bits of paper, or rather words, somewhere.
I think the whole premise of the GNSO bicameral structure is that there are four basic ways of dividing up the domain name policymaking space. And they're so general that there's a space for somebody in any of them. My recommendation to the TLDA would be that they should consider themselves commercial users until and unless they become contracting parties, and they should join the commercial users constituency. And as we have advocated for years, the commercial users constituency should be much more open to individuals and have lower barriers to entry. You just declare which side of the divide you're on. Are you commercial or are you non-commercial? If you declare that I'm in it for personal websites and my own household and I'm basically interested in the non-commercial side, that's fine. You join us. You just can't go tomorrow and participate in the commercial constituency also. It's a mutually exclusive choice.
Well, and your point is well taken. The issue, of course, at least in the past under previous policy, has been that there has been no available entry for the TLDA nor for any organization that represents either alternative or potential top-level domain holders to have voice or entry anywhere in the organization.
Yeah, right.
Because it's always been a kind of in limbo between a commercial, non-commercial contract versus non-contract. It is not a currently in the sphere of ICANN group. There just is no, there's no fit for it, though I believe that there should be.
If I could interrupt for a second, if I were you, I would carefully look at the proposed stakeholder group proposal from the registry constituency, and make a strong statement that it should include potential contracted parties also. I mean, that's where it fits. That's where the, you know, where you're going to be once the contract is signed.
Roger,
it makes a lot more sense to say that's where you should be than in a non-commercial stakeholders group.
And then isn't part of
what
is on February 20th that it would make more sense for people who want to be and see themselves as being commercial to fit in that commercial group? I mean,
no, this is Danny. I'd like to jump in with a question using your example of the one-eyed Onondaga Indians constituency. Let's say, for example, that we Onondagas are of the view that in the who is there should be absolutely no privacy, that what we're looking for is full disclosure. Now, we wind up getting our particular representative to the Policy Council. The Policy Council overwhelmingly takes a position in opposition to our point of view. We never wind up with a representative on the council that expresses our point of view, and we wind up getting shut out of the process.
Well, no, you don't get shut out of the process. One thing that happens is any policy statement that the stakeholder group submits, because you're a constituency, it has to include your views. That's a rule. Secondly, again, the policy is made by working groups, not by the stakeholder groups or by the council. So as soon as the working group is formed, the Onondaga constituency gets a representative on it, and they join with the business users and the other people who want open whois, and they try to achieve consensus within that working group on that policy.
But then where does the working group recommendation go?
It goes to a council on which Onondaga Indians don't have a seated representative.
Well, you might get a representative. For example, if you run a candidate, you have the same right to run a candidate for the council as anybody else in the stakeholder group. And if you're telling me that you know nobody in the constituency supports you, then why should you be represented, their representative on the council?
I think we're working on a false premise here. When Milton described his view, he said there is no guarantee of a council seat by forming a constituency. I don't think there is any way, no matter what, whether you have loose constituencies or the formalized kind where the board has to approve them, if we are successful, we will have 12 or 14 constituencies in any given stakeholder group, and you're never going to have a guaranteed seat on council. So I think we have to stop talking about the guaranteed seat on council and figure out how to make this work, regardless of whether it's a loose, you know, regardless of whether we use Milton's structure of thin constituencies and the bulk of the administration is in the stakeholder group, or you take the model that I've been advocating of the classic constituency and a very thin stakeholder group. Either way, there's no guaranteed link of a constituency to council seat. And I think we should stop talking about that red herring and try to come up with structures that are going to work in the real world.
Hello,
successful.
Hello, guys. This is Carl Peters. I'm TLDA. I joined about 10:25, and I think you'd already discussed the TLDA. One comment about this. Could a constituency not represent an area of thought other than a certain number of people? For example, if something pertains to commercial domain name holders, address only those issues and have a seat that addresses those issues. And if it addresses just pure users, people who look at the Internet and have no other connection to it, they would be restricted to issues that are directed to that. Rather than having people wear five or six different hats, they just those issues in that group.
People can talk on what they want. I don't think we can stop people from talking once they have an appropriate vehicle for talking.
Right. Not really there. You're really talking about the definition of what a working group is structured to do.
That's right. It's already been there. So, Alan, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you say even under a strong constituency structure, no one is guaranteed a seat on the council, okay, how do you decide who gets seats on the council under a strong constituency structure?
If this is a conference call to try to come up with the ideal constituency group format, then I think we should say that that's what it is and decide we're going to talk for the next couple of hours, and I'll be happy to do that. But I didn't think that's this place.
No, but I mean, people keep telling us they don't like our proposal and that there's some alternative. I've never heard what the alternative is. How do you choose council seats? Can somebody tell me something, you know?
Well, let's make sure we discuss that on the Commons. I'm sure Danny is aware of signing it before, and that's exactly why the Commons was put together at Milton. It's a very, very important thing to discuss. Before we move on, and while I've got the mic, and just in case we don't have enough time on six, you said you'd never heard what it is we were concerned about with the NCS. The charter proposal that the NCUC had prepared and we looked at in Cairo. I'll just say it again for the record, from absolutely the point of view of a large consumer organisation like Consumers Union, like Consumers International and like the then just being formed ACAN, we were concerned that 5 or 8 or 10 individual hot bodies would form into a constituency of equal then drill down voting power and influence to those three groups put together, the International Consumers Union, International Consumers Group, ACAN and Consumers Union. Put another European one in there and we're talking about representative peak body voices bringing massive input from an enormous number of internet end users to the table. And we were discussing in Cairo, and I know I discussed it at quite some length with Robin as well, so Mary, you might just want to get a briefing from her on that, some address needs, in our view, to be put in, and maybe that's what's happening in your latest versions. I don't know, but you said you've never heard one of the problems people have with it. Please be sure to listen. That is one of the problems I have.
I did hear that, but I don't think that's a problem with constituency structure. That's a question of how larger organizations are represented relative to smaller organizations or individuals, as I understand it. For example, under the strong constituency proposal, a group of basically 5 people and organizations like Cheryl's safety constituency could end up with its own constituency and a guaranteed council seat. At least that's what she tells us that she wants. And your very large consumer organization would be, under that model, the same status. Or your very large global consumer organizations would be the same status as the current NCUC. Which may or may not be appropriate. But here's what we all have to understand about this. And again, I think people are not fully grasping this. If your consumer organization is as powerful and representative as you say it is, that means that they have the resources to send 6 to 10 people to ICANN meetings, to send 6 to 10 representatives to every teleconference and every working group meeting that ever occurs, that they have the resources to prepare reports and policy proposals and to advocate them forcefully. And that is actually how things get done in ICANN. It's not how many votes you have. It's not whether you're classed as a constituency or not. It's who does the work. And Cheryl, somebody who does as much work as you should know that. So if your groups are really as big and powerful, and I believe that they are when you say that, they should have no trouble at all under any structure having a lot of influence in ICANN. They just show up. That's what I've...
Just let me come across at that point, and Danny must take control back of his meeting now. Can I just say, ICANN is publicly funded money, and we are not well-financed in any way, shape, or form. Every Australian
telecommunications provider is paying a tithe, a tax, that goes to that, and we have to account for the very few dollars we have, and international representation is going to be one small part of that big budget. We can discuss this at other points, and I'm quite sure Holly will have this discussion with you in Mexico.
Okay, thank you for that, Cheryl. We're going to move on briefly to the fact that a doodle is going out, and supposedly by Monday, Tuesday, we should have results of that doodle indicating a date that the ALAC-GNSO Joint Working Group will have its next meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, I'll just pull up the chat from Gazella, which was several hours ago, so I'll just double-check on the time she's proposing.
Okay, and the following assumption that I'll be making is that it's only going to be the parties that intend to be actual members of the NCSG that are going to have the predominant say in the structure and composition of this charter. I'm trying to figure out, other than the role of the ALAC-GNSO working group as facilitators, exactly what are they going to be doing if they're not going to be parties to the charter itself?
Well, the ALAC-GNSO working group hasn't discussed this, so maybe when they have that discussion, they can formulate an answer to that question. You're on that working group. Make sure it gets on the agenda.
That sounds good.
Can I ask you a question, Danny?
Sure, go ahead.
My understanding of that working group was that it was really supposed to solve the individual representation problem, and I'm not sure whether we have time, but I would certainly like to hear your perspectives on how that should be handled and Cheryl's perspectives.
Well, my perspective on it is fairly clear-cut. I think that individuals have a role in the process that can be filled through the working group processes. I tend to be somewhat of a pragmatist and don't honestly believe that non-registrant users will ever coalesce into a constituency. I just don't see it happening.
And if you want me to quickly answer that same question, it has been the belief and the continual voice from the ALAC throughout every one of our statements, reports and interactions from the very beginning of the GNSO improvements process that we need to try and ensure and to facilitate that the individual internet user's voice can and will be heard effectively.
Okay, Cheryl, in the event that a constituency of users, as you described, does not materialize, how do you see them participating in the GNSO?
Can I answer that, Cheryl?
Sure, Alan, go ahead.
Please, Alan.
I'll give my view. This is not an ALAC position, but it's a position I've taken repeatedly. I don't think we want a constituency of individual users. I think we need someone speaking up on the GNSO and someone speaking up on GNSO policy working groups who takes into account the needs of individual, uneducated, rabble users. Now, those may include commercial, they include users who are registrants, they include users who are not registrants. It's someone speaking on behalf of them, defending them, and saying what they need as users of the Internet, the people who justify all the other people spending the billions of dollars on the Internet.
Yep.
And not just the people who are making the money, who may indeed have the interest of the users in mind because that's how they make their money, or may not.
And Alan, again, not an ALAC view, this is a Cheryl Langdon Orr view. That is why I personally encouraged ACAN to come and try and find a seat at the table.
Yeah, I would have to say it isn't a group of registrants, but it is certainly a bunch of consumers who have a range of issues with communications generally, and one of them, because increasingly the Internet is the way people are increasingly communicating, one of them has to be the Internet. Now, whether they are well enough informed to make the difficulties they have, the issues they have known, probably the best way they will be represented is through
Joe Baptista.
Left.
Consumer groups.
cheap bodies. Danny, can I just give you the timings now that I've found them? The timings Gazella will be offering on the Doodle.
Please.
Are going to be 1300, 1400 and 1900 UTC on the 22nd.
Okay.
Not the 22nd. She's given me odd dates.
I hope it's not on the 22nd.
Given
that we have to have the report in the day before, 2 days before.
Okay. Right. Well, she said the 22nd at first. So trust me, it's definitely wrong. We've missed that doodle. Gazella also mentioned then 2000 and 2100 UTC on the following day. So I've said the Monday, Tuesday, or possibly Wednesday UTC next week. So, but look at those times.
Okay.
And Heidi, you cross-check with Gazella to make sure that we actually have the right month and year to get this thing working.
Yes, I will do that.
If I can follow on for just a moment. I was the person who, I guess, most adamantly tried to make the case that we wanted the term user, not registrant, in the definition of the GNSO. The current definition has users. There's the NCUC and the commercial business users. The Board Governance Committee said change it to registrant. To be quite candid,
joined.
To be quite candid, since you can buy you can buy a domain for $8 a year. Number two, owning a domain in a ccTLD is enough of a justification to make you a registrant and therefore participate in the GNSO. There really isn't any difference between user and registrant in terms of who can participate.
It will.
There is a big difference in the optics of it, of whether ICANN is setting policy on GTLDs, factoring in the needs and issues of users. And that's really what we're trying to make sure happens.
Very articulate, Alan. Well done.
Thank you.
A general question for the group before we wrap things up. What's the sense of the group? Will we be able to put together a cohesive response to the board within 2 weeks, knowing that we're going to be primarily working by teleconference? Is this the optimum way of doing it? Or,
Danny, before you finish, which group are you talking about? Are you talking about this group
or the
joint whatever group?
All right, let's talk about the joint group.
Okay.
Do we feel comfortable that teleconference is going to allow us within 2 weeks to resolve opinions on the structure and composition of the NCSG?
I'm not sure that that's exactly the question that we want to answer. I'm not sure what the question is, but I'm not sure it's that one.
I guess what
we're not getting on planes. We have no choice.
Well, what I'm leading up to is when the new GTLD process started, the GNSO took an intersessional moment where they actually convened a working session in Washington, put everybody together in a room, and made sure that everything got hashed out until there was consensus.
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether this might be a reasonable approach to pitch to staff to perhaps set up a weekend, maybe one of the coming weekends prior to the final deadline date, and we get the interested parties together.
Well, there is only one weekend.
Well, all right. We could realistically be looking at the 21st, 22nd. I mean, the board's not going to kill anybody if the response comes on the 23rd instead of the 20th.
But we're going to be in Mexico. I can't get all my Africans into the summit necessarily easily because the complexity of getting travel, end documentation, visas and everything else. Remember that the ALAC side of the joint working group is totally regionally balanced. And my Afralo rep is from a Congo. So if you can make sure that the funding and everything there is to get him across, including the fast-track visa, hell, I don't have a problem flying across earlier.
Well, actually, Cheryl, what I'm referring to is getting together those parties that will be an actual part of the non-commercial stakeholders group. So by that, I mean getting Milton together with Cheryl Preston, together with Bo Brendler, together with anybody that will be filing a notice of intent to actually be part of that constituency.
I think that's
program.
I think that's a fine decision, but that's not this group. That's not the group you were talking about.
You weren't asking the question of the joint GNSO and ALAC, that question. You asked us about the joint working group's ability to do it.
Okay.
And that's what I was responding to.
All right. No, I accept your point.
Sure.
I guess I'm just fishing for a better way of getting things done in the course of the next 2 weeks than perhaps a regimen of teleconferences.
Well, the only way you're going to get synchronous communication among the parties working on this is through teleconferences. There's not going to be any global travel that gets us all together in the same room, unless, of course, it's Syracuse.
Uh-huh, right.
That's a joke.
Yeah, right.
I was about to take you up on that.
Hey, Montreal, the temperature might go above freezing in the next couple of days. I think we're the center of the world.
All right. Have we got any final questions, comments that anyone
would like
to make?
I would suggest, assuming this fictitious meeting in Washington doesn't happen, that a few teleconferences talking about the NCSG charter and giving an opportunity for Milton to listen to what some of us have been saying, and vice versa, may be, in fact, a productive use of some number of hours between now and 2 weeks from now.
Alan, I've also been Skyping with Heidi because she and Gazella is yet to join the force, but she will be joining the force on bludgeoning this Commons into an effective working tool for us all, and obviously we have to make sure that the GNSO uploading whatever they want to have available for people to look at as well. I was suggesting what we might be able to discuss and come up in a short order is some form of that list of alternate proposals for charters that Danny has in today's agenda, if we can put up some sort of compare and contrast tool that some of us can look at, that might also help us fast track. It may be something that ends up happening in an Adobe room at a future meeting, but I think we do need to look at getting on the same page and probably having a number of small single topic conversations either virtually or in teleconference.
I mean, to whatever extent we can end up with proposals that meet more needs rather than fewer and not have to address the discomfort by writing statements to the board, you know, when they're reviewing it, I think so much the better.
Well, I'm a little bit confused. Whenever I deal with ALAC and in GNSO in combination, the number of organizations and people multiplies to the point where I'm always confused. I just want to make it clear that Alan's suggestion that we have at least one more teleconference before February 20th, where we actually try to discuss how our draft can be amended to please more people, is perfectly fine with me. And I'm, again, willing to listen to any systematic input. We really believe in the approach that we're taking, and I'm, you know, I don't think there's anybody more appropriate to be proposing a charter for the non-commercial stakeholders group than the existing non-commercial constituency. So we're going to submit a charter, and we will actively try as hard as we can to accommodate people who want it to be amended in certain ways. But we've started this process 6 months when we've informed everybody about what we're doing. So, you know, we have everything out on the table. Be sure that you tell me where this wiki is or this commons is. I have no idea.
Heidi will be inviting you if she hasn't already done so. She will be momentarily.
Okay, and when we want to have a discussion where we try to resolve differences, you know, just any time. I mean, not any time, because I actually have a job outside of ICANN, in fact, two of them, and my schedule is very constrained right now, but I will make time for it on a weekend or any kind of you know, unusual time like this is actually better than any kind of prime time daytime meeting.
Milton, other than ICANN staff, all of us are doing this as a hobby.
I know.
Milton
is
hugely involved with this little thing called a summit.
And Milton, if your position is that NCUC is not going to consider any other structure than the one they've proposed, then maybe the fundamental question we need to decide is if everyone's going to agree to that structure, or if some people want a constituency structure, and maybe that could save us a whole lot of time and talking if we discover that that's going to be an impassable divide.
No, we'll accept any structure that answers the basic questions that we have about how it actually works. The reason we avoided a constituency structure is that we saw miles and miles of organizational overhead, unproductive political conflict, unfair voting regimes, constant monitoring problems. I mean, we can just go down the list. I've got documents, you know, explaining all these problems. If somebody can convince us that you can solve those problems within a constituency structure, that would be, you know, that would make everybody happy. I don't think you can, but I'm willing to be convinced.
Hey, this is Mary. Can I jump in here?
Please, go ahead.
You know, I think that one thing we should all bear in mind is what the BGC actually said in its report, and maybe my interpretation may not be everybody's, but it seems to me that they are envisioning very broad stakeholder groups, the four groups, and I think they actually use the word broad. I don't think they are particularly concerned with the number of constituencies. In fact, my view is that they think that should be flexible, there'll be new ones, there should be new ones, and old ones will die away. So I think that for anything that the working group might recommend by 20th of February, that has to be borne in mind, that in terms of the structure we might propose, it has to be something that would seem to fit within what the board has accepted from the BGC report.
That's right. There's a group of, there's like four or five principles that they set out, and we're following those principles. It's about increasing participation and the broadness of the stakeholder group. It's not about increasing the number of constituencies. And we think that multiplying constituencies makes participation more difficult. It stops people from talking to each other in the same group. It increases the complexity of the organization so that people don't know where to go. It increases competition among groups for the same people. We've thought about this, and we just don't see, we just see a nightmare if we try to create this multi-tiered structure in which your poor individual and small group has to try to navigate to even get anywhere close to policymaking.
Milton, this is Danny, just with an observation. For the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, we've had the cross-constituency group, which has pretty much been functioning as a de facto stakeholder group. They have their joint meetings, and they have their individual meetings. And they seem to manage just fine without any political fights, without any organizational hassles of the type that you're describing. Why do you think that it's so difficult to structure things along the same lines of, you know, what this other set of people has already managed to accomplish?
Oh, it's very simple. Those are not three different constituencies. Those are the same big multinational Western companies that are basically interested in trademark protection. They don't have any fundamental diversity there. They're almost exclusive. The people they've sent to the council have been the same for 10 years. They're all from the U.S. and Europe. Every once in a while, they get some Australian or New Zealand person to fill out the Asian quota. Of course, they can get along easily. But we're talking about, the difference between Cheryl Preston and Robin Gross. We're talking about people from Africa who do, you know, AIDS research or you know, social welfare activity. We're talking about incredibly diverse group of non-commercial stakeholders, and not about trademark protection.
Let me toss a little bit in. It's Alan. As I said before, my concept was of a traditional constituency and a very thin stakeholder group with very little responsibility, and there are a couple of crucial responsibilities, but not much. So I don't see the huge structure that that would build. On the other hand, I can live very easily with Milton's structure if the issue of representation can be addressed. So it's not all, this is not all people lining up on two sides of big constituency versus light constituencies. There are some other concepts, other issues in play here that are not just how do we define the constituency.
Well, under Milton's structure, the question then becomes how do you define the inclusion of participation if it is not by constituency?
There's a whole bunch of questions that are different questions depending on which model you pick. But from my mind, regardless of which model you pick, those questions have to be addressed or we are not going to be successful, and that's the bottom line.
Agreed.
Okay, and I think we'll all be able to pose those questions on this new commons that's being created.
Danny, do you just mind if Heidi gives her email address? Because anybody who wants to be added to this should just contact her, and anyone here who wants to give their address for an immediate invitation. Mary, I'm assuming you want to be invited fairly promptly.
Yes, please, thank you.
do you mind if anyone just continues, once you've called the meeting to an official close, if they just stay on the line and make sure Heidi has all their details?
I'll send the information on the GNSO people that I've been told about to Heidi.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and with that, since we are running substantially over, I'd actually like to call the meeting to a close. Anybody have... Is anybody really compelled to add additional statements?
Danny, this is Rob Hogarth. I'm compelled to make one commercial, if I may.
Go ahead.
On 4 February, we posted the GNSO constituency renewals.
Mm-hmm.
There is an open comment period through 25 February, so I encourage anyone who would like to comment or has views to submit them. We've already gotten some comments. Also, for those folks interested in forming new constituencies, seeing examples of existing charters and reading some of those rationales, I think, would be very helpful.
Yeah, and I'd like to commend George Kirikos for his insightful comments so far. And I'm sure there'll be more comments being posted to that particular public comment forum. So thank you for that, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're wrapping this meeting up. I'll stay on the line for those that would like to communicate their email addresses to Heidi.
Thank you for doing this, Danny.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Left.
Alan.
Left.
Rob Hogarth.
Left.
Carlos Aguirre.
So, Heidi, is still
left.
There?
Yes, I'm here. And do you want... Should I go ahead? I go
left,
ahead and give
left.
Charles Preston.
Should I go ahead and give
left.
You my...
Ken Bauer.
...email
left.
Address, or do you want...
Carl Peters.
...to give me yours?
Probably both. Mine is very simple. It's my last name, Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R.
Uh-huh.
At S-Y-R.
Left.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
S-Y-R,
yep.
First three letters of Syracuse, .edu.
Okay.
And you are Heidi what?
Dot Ulrich, so it's H-E-I-D-I.
Yep.
Dot U-L-L-R-I-C-H at ICANN.org.
Milton, good to hear you. I haven't spoken to you in probably 7 or 8 years, Gene Marsh.
Hi, Gene.
Gene, can I go ahead and get your email again? I didn't quite get that when you gave it the first time.
Yes, Heidi. It's MarshM, that's M-A-R-S-H-M,
mm-hmm.
at, I'll say it phonetically, Alpha November Yankee Charlie Alpha Sierra Tango .net.
Okay, ANYCAST.net.
That's correct.
Okay.
Hi, Heidi. This is David. I'd also like to give you my email address as well.
Okay.
It's Scott D, S-C-O-T-T-D,
yeah.
At UCAN2, which is U N
Milton Mueller.
Sorry, I can't even spell my own name.
Okay, Scott at U C
A N N, the number 2,
yeah.
.org. And that's Scott D.
Yeah.
D as in David, yep.
Hi, Heidi, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, and my email address is M Wong. That's M W O N G.
Okay. M Wong, yes, at
piercelaw.edu.
Okay, can you say that again?
piercelaw.edu. P I E. R C E.
Yeah.
L A W. .edu.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, just to let you know that we've just established this, so we're in the process, you know, over the weekend or perhaps more on Monday, where we'll start inviting everyone and putting documents up.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody, and thank you, Danny.
Okay. You're welcome, Mary.
Thanks, Danny. Y'all have a good evening. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
All right, Danny.
It's almost the weekend.
David Scott.
Here.
Left.
Okay.
Left.
Danny?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And so what we'll do is as this starts, these comments start filling themselves, then we'll be in touch just to make sure that all the documents are there. But you can go ahead and already post the audio, and if you've had a chance to write the notes to the previous meeting you had,
right.
The 17th.
What I think might be also appropriate is for you to be following the GNSO list to see within the next couple of days if there are any other individual users that are either volunteering or will wind up being recommended by the GNSO people.
Okay. Okay. I'll be working closely with Rob on that.
Okay.
All right.
I think we've covered all the bases.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Danny Younger.
Left.
Heidi.
Left.
Adigo operator.
Left.
Cheryl.
Left.